This is our top five favorite time travel movies. The Sarah Connor to my Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dave?
At least I wasn't your Michael Biehn.
I was going to make you the Michael Biehn, but then I thought, no, I'd make you a woman because that would be not as awkward. At any rate, Terminator does not appear on our list, spoiler alert, but stick around, and in the future, we will tell you our present top five movies about time travel.
And then at the end, when you're thinking, wait, did they say Terminator? You can go back in time to right now to say, oh, yeah, they mentioned that they're not going to put Terminator on
there. Yeah, so you can actually time travel within this episode. Hopefully, you won't just travel to the end and be like, boy, that sucked. Because if you do travel to the end, you'll miss our tagline contest for this week. They didn't make history. They stole it. That is the tagline for this week. It is a movie that does not appear on either of our lists, but it is about time travel. A movie that we both like, and I think we both left off because we figured the other person was going to have it on there. We do that from time to time, so this is my way.
So it'll come up in honorable mentions.
Okay, so there you go. Just hang out until the end of the podcast. Dave will let you know what movie that is. If you can correctly pick it from Dave's list of honorable mentions and send it to us in any of the following ways, in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com, via our Twitter page, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup, or in the comments section for this very episode on moviesonup.com, which, as the name might indicate to you, that is our website. If your guess is correct, and if we choose you, you can win a prize package, which will arrive at some point in the future.
Yes.
Or the present when it gets there. It'll be a present from us to you.
Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
That's right. Very good, Dave. That's very thoughtful right up top. But people aren't here to hear us give Hallmark card statements. They are here because they want to know what are our five favorite time travel movies of all time. In the history of time. So do you want to start with your number five?
Yeah, this was weird because I thought, hey, let's do a time travel movie episode. I thought, oh, there's a ton to choose from.
There are a lot.
There are a lot, but there aren't as many that I like as I thought. But my number five, it is one that I like, and I know we've mentioned on the show before. It's not – this list probably has my most obvious ones. Usually we avoid the obvious ones. I didn't this time, so I won't be shocked if we have crossover. My number five, though, I know Ryan left it off his list because he assumed I would have it. It is 2004's Primer, written, directed, starring Shane Carruth, David Sullivan co-stars. It doesn't make any sense. It's just basically these guys create...
Welcome to Shane Carruth's movies.
Yeah, it's just these guys create a time machine. The big shocker is that it works. So what do you do when you have that power? Like, what do you... When you create something like that that actually works, what do you do with it? And Sullivan and Carruth do such a good job in this movie that they get you excited for them. They're so excited that it works, and they're so excited that they're getting to play with it that you don't understand anything that's going on, but their enthusiasm alone makes you excited for them. So just a really interesting watch. I won't say a fun watch because it's easy to get lost along the
way.
It's
heady.
It's very heady. But even if you don't keep up with the headiness of it, I think just watching them two act like kids on Christmas morning is just a good time. Very thought out movie. I love the idea of it. You could take this idea and make a way more mainstream movie about it if you wanted to. That's not what they were going for, obviously. But it still worked, and I still really liked it. And I wanted big things for Shane Carruth, but he hasn't really followed him up with anything that I like.
Not mainstream. That is for certain. This is a movie that I think probably shows up on a lot of people's lists. And, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, I like it. It probably deserves a place on my list somewhere. But having a strong feeling that, Dave, I probably would have had an easier time writing your list than I had writing mine. My number five is a little bit out of the box. It is from Gary Ross. You may know him better as the director of The Hunger Games. Directed Pleasantville in 1998, starring Tobey Maguire, Reese Witherspoon, Jeff Daniels, William H. Macy. Like I said, maybe a bit out of the box in terms of time travel, but into the box, the TV box. Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon get transported back in time, sort of, into a television show that takes place in the 50s, thanks to a magical remote given to them by Don Knotts. Not too subtle in the allegory. category here when you have this entire world that they're now in, Pleasantville, black and white, except for the two of them in complete color. And as they are able to get the citizens of Pleasantville, you know, thinking along their newfangled logic, then they turn into color, and it becomes sort of that idea of, let's get everybody thinking on the same page and look at things the same way. But then, you know, who's really got the right perspective? So, I mean, there's kind of a lot going on here. It's not time travel in that these people actually go back in time to the 50s, but they're transported essentially to a land that is 1950s.
This one popped into my head because I love Pleasantville. I think it's a fantastic movie. I didn't really consider, I mean, it popped in my head, so the thought process was there, but I didn't really consider it time travel, but I can't argue because it is somebody from the present going back to the 50s, even though it's not necessarily traveling in time. They're just going into a different dimension almost. But
the show was filmed in the 50s because it was a real show that McGuire watched, his character did, knew all about it.
So it fits, and I really like this movie, and visually, it's so, just what they could do was great, and I just really like the characters. Reese Witherspoon was great in it. It's just
it doesn't really go where you think it's going to go either.
No, it's just a really good movie that I think when it came out kind of got a bad rap, but I think it's more than what people thought it was. I think there's more to this movie than people assume there is on the surface.
And the cast, I mean, just with the supporting cast of Jeff Daniels and William H. Macy, those guys are so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is really awesome. And it does come across as like a gimmick where everything's black and white and then it's kind of goes into color. A bit like Wizard of Oz.
But it fits into the story, though.
Yeah, there's a reason for it. Sure, it's a bit heavy-handed, but I still think it's a good movie.
Yeah, real good movie. My number four, also a real good movie, from 1979, Time After Time, directed by Nicholas Meyer. This is one of those that, when you think about movies that could be remade and could be updated, I love this movie. It's H.G. Wells invents a time machine. Jack the Ripper gets his hands on it and goes to modern day. Modern day in 79, not today modern day. So H.G. Wells goes to the future.
I guess he could have. He's going into the future anyway.
That's
Why
what
not
I mean.
Just
you
going?
Could you imagine Jack the Ripper in today's world?
I feel like that's been a TV show.
Oh, it probably has.
Yeah.
But it's still, I like the story. Just H.G. Wells hunting down Jack the Ripper in present day. Malcolm McDowell as H.G. Wells. Mary Steenburgen shows up. And then David Warner as Jack the Ripper. Just a really awesome movie that, it does hold up, but I wouldn't be opposed to an update because I think it's such a cool story, such a cool idea.
To mention H.G. Wells, I don't think his time machine movie appears on your list, does it?
It does not.
Okay. That's probably one that I think most people would think that I would have on there because it's old, and apparently, you know, that's kind of my shtick is I like old movies. And I do like that movie. And again, I think with Pleasantville, like the idea of like the Morlocks and the pretty people that live above ground, I think that can be a little bit heavy-handed. But I do really like the story of the time machine. And I think that this was a clever way to, it's not that, that's not why you put that movie on your list. It's just so you could allow me to give a subtle nod to the H.G. Wells time machine movies. But I'm going to take the opportunity to do that anyway. A movie that I begged you to take off your list to try not to have too much crossover was one of the ones that I figured you would have on there. Again, I said it was easier writing your list than it was mine. But I love Rian Johnson as a director so much that I could not leave off Looper from 2012, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, and Paul Dano. A bit of a genre bender in this one. It is absolutely a time travel movie. If you've seen it, obviously I don't need to make that case here. It's kind of half gangster movie, half science fiction movie. And I think that the concept of disposing of a body by sending it back in time is really a neat idea. We get time travel movies a lot because people want to, you know, go back in time and fix something or go forward in time, see how things turn out. But this was like a practical application for time travel is, well, where in God's name can we get rid of a body that nobody will find it? Well, it's pretty easy. You just send it back in time.
It's just a nice little the common thing in life and movies is, okay, here's this great powerful thing. What if it gets in the hands of criminals? And that's what happens. Criminals have access to time travel, so now they don't have to worry about hiding bodies, which is brilliant.
It's not just hiding the bodies, because they actually don't even do the killing. They just send them back in time, and you have your hitman in the past just dispose of whatever shows up. And spoiler alert, I think most people know with this story and with the name Looper, Bruce Willis is a hitman, gets sent back in time to be killed by his old self, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's also that idea of these guys know that eventually they're going to have to kill.
They're going to close the loop.
Right, close the loop. And, you know, they're paid handsomely for this job. They make a ton of money, and it's like a short-term thing because you know that eventually you're going to have to kill yourself, which, again, I think is kind of a weird concept, but pretty rad. And as much as I like the movie, I think that everybody did a good job. You know, Emily Blunt was really good. Paul Dano's awesome. I'm going to bring you around on Paul Dano.
I've always loved Paul Dano.
I thought you didn't like
no,
him.
No, I love Paul Dano. Right, I think he's one of the best, like, underrated actors out there.
My work here is done then. But I think that Johnson absolutely is the star of the movie, just being the writer-director. I'm on record multiple times how much I love Brick. I think the guy, everything he does is so original. And a lot of times, you know, we get down on Hollywood for not doing anything original. Looper definitely was, and I think that for whatever reason it kind of flopped, and I'm a little surprised.
It had a good opening weekend, but sure. Then it was one of those to disappear kind of
closed
quickly.
Its own loop real quick.
I really like this movie because it is different, it's unique, but yet he brings you this idea that is different, but yet in your head you can kind of play it out. It's not what happens.
No.
He still takes it somewhere completely different, and it's not the kind of movie you expect it to be. There's a lot more to it. Bruce Willis is great. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, if you could get past the makeup, is great. It's just a really good movie. The loop on it closes awesome. Like, from beginning to end, like, it makes sense, and it's just a really awesome job because you don't know where it's going to go. In your mind, you prejudge a movie like this. Oh, it's a time travel action movie. You prejudge your own kind of ending for it, and that's not where it goes. This movie takes it different places that you don't see coming, and I really like that about it.
It is absolutely one of the few times that I've sat in a movie theater recently and had no idea how the movie was going to end until it ended. I think you hit it absolutely on the head. You think you know, but you don't know. And that's what's so great about this movie. And I give Johnson a lot of credit for writing something that was incredibly interesting and then directing the hell out of it, too. So that's my number four, Looper.
Yeah. My number three, this is the kind of movie we usually leave off the list. I know you disagree with me. It's not your favorite. But I can't talk time travel movie and not bring up Back to the Future 2. Back to the Future Part 2, to me, it's nearly perfect. I mean, Back to the Future is so good. The story is so good. The character of Marty McFly is great. His family is fantastic. That story is so good that how do you follow that up?
Do the same thing in the future.
And go back and forth between. I like that it tied it into the first movie. It gave a lot of different. It added, I mean, it told me that 2 years from now, we're going to have hoverboards, which I can't wait for.
Yeah,
so,
I'm so pumped.
Yeah, so I mean, it just, Michael J. Fox was at his Michael J. Foxiest. It was just such a good, like, Marty McFly was so good. He's so perfect for this movie. Damn you, Eric Stoltz.
No, don't damn you, yeah. Eric Stoltz. You should thank him.
Yeah, but it's a fun movie, and I don't think you can have a legitimate conversation about time travel movies without this one or the first one.
Obviously, I like the first one much better, and that's a movie that I feel like everybody knows is awesome, so I don't want to put it on there. I would venture to guess that more people have seen Back to the Future 1 and 2 than have seen Looper. And
I understand that, but it's just basically there are some more I like.
I want to use my hover platform to talk about something. I'm not mad that you put it on there.
You know what? My next two are movies that people have seen a lot too, but I couldn't do this list and leave
them
off.
Oh, my top two, yeah. My top two are definitely big time movies, but yeah. I think that, you know, maybe they're not considered time travel movies, but I'd just like to point out that they are. Like, I'm a big smarty pants. Back to the Future 2 is fine. Maybe we'll mention Back to the Future. It'll come back around in our watch. This is, I think.
Maybe.
I'm almost sure. We'll have to wait till we get to the future to find that out. My number three, a movie from 2005, directed by John Mayberry, starring Adrian Brody, Keira Knightley, Daniel Craig, Kris Kristofferson, Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's The Jacket. I really had no idea what to expect from this movie, and I liked it a lot. It's a pretty depressing movie. I will say that. It's about as depressing as it might actually be to be having to spend long periods of time in a straitjacket, put in some sort of a meat locker. The movie starts with kind of a voiceover from Brody, and he says he's in the Persian Gulf in 1991. He says, well, this is where I died the first time. His character gets shot in the head, presumed dead. He gets to the morgue, and he kind of, his eyes start fluttering, so they, oh, I guess he's not dead. So he gets out of the army, and things don't really get any better for him. He's got amnesia. He ends up getting put in a mental institution for killing a cop, where Kris Kristofferson's character, as part of his treatment, I guess, puts him in a straitjacket inside of a freezer. And he's able to travel, at this point, I believe it's like 15 years ahead of time, into 2007, where he meets Keira Knightley, and she tells him that he's going to die in 1993. So then it becomes this, not only a love story between the two of them, but they've also got to try and figure out what happens to Adrian Brody, why he dies in 1993, and then try and stop it. It's an interesting take on time travel, because he's going 15 years, which is not an incredible amount of time, and he's not seeking to do it on purpose. It's just kind of a side effect. And I really liked the relationship between those two characters, and I think it's just a heartbreaking movie, but I really liked it. You didn't, though.
It was okay.
The face that you made.
It was a shocker. That was a pull. Like, I didn't expect that. Like, I didn't expect it.
That's what I give you.
Especially that high. Like, that was an out-of-the-box pull.
Really like it.
I never even considered. My number two, not as much of a pull. A very, very popular movie. Huge cast. Huge name cast, I mean. It's one of those, it's rare for a time travel movie to take place in one timeline, in one time period. But 1995's 12 Monkeys does that. Bruce Willis is sent back in time from a future that's been wiped out by disease to gather information on why. Awesome movie. Directed by Terry Gilliam, who may come up again in an honorable mention.
May have already come up.
For a movie that we both would have put on our list, but we assumed the other one did. Very awesome movie. And Gilliam's work could go one way or the other. I dislike more of his work than I like, but this one I love.
I think this is his best.
Far and away is best to me.
Yeah, but
I don't like Brazil. I like another one, but
that's the one. I think Brazil is kind of his masterpiece,
but
I love 12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys,
I hate Brazil too, but I love this movie, and I absolutely would have put it on the list, but again, I thought that was kind of on the nose. Maybe not as much as Back to the Future, but I'm glad you put it on, because I think, was this the one where people were like, all right, Brad Pitt's kind of a movie star?
This was the one where it's like, oh, Brad Pitt's kind of an actor.
Maybe that's what I meant.
Like, Brad Pitt was already a movie star.
Yeah, he was an attractive dude,
like,
Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, Brad
whatever.
Pitt's an actor. Like, yeah. Brad Pitt, you can give him a crazy, lazy eye, insane guy, and he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and he was.
And he was. And just the way the story of this all comes together, where Bruce Willis is finding out about what's happening in the world and about his past. So he's figuring out the future and his past, which is awesome. It's an awesome idea. Everything about this movie is so very cool, and it was nailed. Like, this, I mean, it's damn near a perfect movie. It's such a good movie. And I mean, Pitt had this and Seven right around the same time, which those are two amazing
movies. Really good
movies.
Yeah.
So, but 12 Monkeys, I absolutely love. It's a little different take on a time travel movie, because you're not actually seeing the time travel, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. Mine, you sort of, yeah, you see the time travel, and it happens kind of at the very beginning, and then at the very end, it spends most of the movie back in the past, back in the way past. It's from 1992, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Bruce Campbell and Beth Davids, Army of Darkness. It is my favorite entry in the Evil Dead series, and while it may not immediately come to your mind as a time travel movie, correct me if I'm wrong, but does it not begin and end with Ash kind of wandering through time? The time travel in this one is obviously a bit more of the mystical variety than it would be in like Looper or 12 Monkeys, where it was more science than magic, I guess. But I would argue that like the repercussions of the misuse of time travel in this movie are more pronounced definitely than they are in The Jacket, for instance. There was a lot of rules that seemed to have gotten broken and things didn't make a whole lot of sense. But when Ash doesn't follow through with his time travel procedures correctly, the future, or the present, I guess, does definitely get altered. And as much as I do like the Evil Dead series, I think at this point, like, it did just get really, really wacky. But again, really fun, a lot more action in this. And this, Ash is absolutely an action hero, and he is from beginning to end. As much as I think people like, you know, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, I think that most people would probably prefer their Ash from Army of Darkness. That's where you get most of the Ash-isms,
comes
really.
The boomstick.
Right, exactly.
Give me some sugar.
Such a good movie, funny, really kind of a weird, you know, from Raimi and Tappert and all those guys essentially making the Evil Dead movies on their own to get a studio, to get backing from Dino De Laurentiis to make Army of Darkness. Tremendous. And I can't be more pumped that Evil Dead 4 is, the new Evil Dead is really more of an Army of Darkness 2. I love that.
This one was on my radar, and I almost put it on there.
It was in my, for not.
It was in my list to also ran, in case you didn't bring it up. It's just fun. You took Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, same movie, just one had a bigger budget. So to do Evil Dead 3, where do you go from there? They thought outside the box. And
but it
worked.
Still kind of works as a good sequel.
It works as a sequel, but you actually, it's built more on Ash. Not that the first two weren't, but this is really making Ash a star. Like, this is what put Ash in the pop culture icon, like, as a pop culture icon. And it was just so good. And I do want Army of Darkness 2, and I hope it's coming. There's conflicting reports about whether it's a reality or not, but I hope it's coming. I wish it would have happened already.
I'm kind of shocked that it didn't. As much as we say that it's a star-making movie for Ash, that's the last we heard of him.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. My number one, I didn't really think outside the box on this one. This is, when you think about achievement.
Is it Time Cop?
That was on my honorable mention list. If you think about achievements in time travel movies, this one really took it to a whole new level. It really took the genre of time travel and said, oh, that's what all is possible with it. And just a great, great all-around film. It is 1989's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I don't think you can ever, ever make a better time travel movie than this. They took the whole premise of time travel and just to do a book report, to do a report. It's just so good. I love the sequel even more, but that's not a time travel movie. That's something else entirely. But as far as time travel goes, this is brilliant. Two dumb high school kids get a time machine, so they just go get historical figures.
Just kind of like almost like interviews.
Lincoln, Napoleon, Socrates. It's just,
come on back. Do our report for us.
Yeah, it's just so funny. And just the concept of it sounds so out there. But Winter and Keanu, like, pulled it off. Like, you care about these idiot kids. And
Keanu's been doing the same thing for the last 25 years.
But just, it's so fun. And yes, it's an obvious one. And sure, everybody that probably listened to this has probably seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But think of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and don't smile. Like, I don't think you can, because it's so fun and such a fun, funny movie. Maybe it hit me at the right time. I was 10 years old when this came out. This was the perfect movie for me. I loved this movie. And even to this day, to rewatch it, George Carlin, everybody that they collect in time is played so perfectly. Like, yeah, it's dumb, it's stupid, it's goofy, but Billy the Kid, you know, Socrates, Genghis Khan, Joan of Arc, Lincoln, Freud, it's awesome. Like, they played so well. It's not just a fish out of water. It's a lot of them. And it's just such a fun, good time that I would even put this over. Back to the Future is like the staple of time travel movies. I'd put Bill and Ted over it because it had a lot more fun with the concept of time travel and made a hilarious, just fun movie.
It did. I mean, I think that those movies are probably cousins to each other. I mean, you know, Bill and Ted was a comedy really from beginning to end, and they didn't try and dress it up as anything else. I mean, Back to the Future is still a funny movie, and I think there are parts of it that are really, really ridiculous. But I guess there's a little bit more in terms of an actual problem to solve rather than just trying to figure out how to get back. But I do like that movie. I had a feeling it was going to be very high on your list. It's another movie that I'm shocked that you didn't put on there, though. Maybe, I don't know, is it a spoiler alert to say Safety Not Guaranteed did not make your top five? Your favorite movie from last year.
I didn't really think about it, and I'd really...
More so than Looper, which I had to beg you to take off your list.
That's actually the first I thought about it, because I guess I don't consider it a time travel movie. I guess it...
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
It technically kind of maybe is. Like
it's a movie about time travel.
Yeah, it is. That would have been up there. I didn't think about it because I didn't... There's another one in my also-rans that I left out that would have probably also been on my list. But, yeah, Safety Not Guaranteed is a good one. That's a good pull.
That one surprises me. Like I said, I was convinced I was going to be able to write your list easier than you were.
I guess it just didn't come to me as a time travel movie.
Well, fair enough.
Although I do love that movie.
I do love my number one movie. I've talked about it before. It's an older movie directed by Franklin J. Schaffner, starring Charlton Heston, Roddy McDowall, Kim Hunter, and the lovely Linda Harrison. It is 1968's Planet of the Apes. Spoiler alert! It's a time travel movie. It's a pretty good movie as well. If the ending hadn't been spoiled for you, maybe not like what I've just done, it's a brilliant movie. Classic Rod Serling twist at the end. While it's not immediately apparent, you know, you see what we as a society, maybe especially in the 60s when we were kind of, by we, I don't know, I wasn't alive in the 60s, but we as human beings were afraid of kind of nuclear destruction, and this is what could happen. I think that's one of the reasons you have time travel, so you can show the consequences of the actions that you know may take, and that's exactly what we see in this. It takes the entire movie to get to that, but Damn You All to Hell wasn't really directed at the apes. That was directed at us as human beings. Time travel being used to teach a lesson, see the possible consequences of your action. Kind of a common theme, but I don't think it was ever done better than Planet of the Apes, which just seemed like an alien planet movie. And then, oh my God, it's Earth. There's been so many movies that have taken that twist. Oh my God, it's Earth the whole time. And it's sort of like it's played out. But in 1968, like I can only imagine just your mind melting out your ears when you get to the end and you see the decapitated head of the Statue of Liberty. That'd just be awesome.
I kind of felt like this would be on your list.
Yeah,
because
it had to be.
This was an obvious one for you.
For me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as nuts about the movies as you are, but that's a solid number one. Into my honorable mentions, other than Safety Not Guaranteed, which
and
is
Time Cop.
It is.
It's
actually a
I'm
solid
serious.
Movie. Like it's a good
I thought you were gonna put that on your list.
Of the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. This one's legit.
It is of my favorites.
It's actually really good. Along the same vein of Safety Not Guaranteed, where is it a time travel movie? Sound of My Voice came to mind more so than Safety Not Guaranteed, which that was an overlook on my site. One that I know we both like, directed by Terry Gilliam, Time Bandits. That's another one of those that takes us both to our childhoods, and it's just a fun, good time. Gilliam, those are easily my two favorite Terry Gilliam movies. And then another more recent one, Hot Tub Time Machine. Maybe not the best as a time travel movie. I liked it as a movie. It was fun. It was cute.
Much better than I thought it was going to
be. Yeah. And then, of course, I go a little deeper for these two honorable mentions from 2007. A Spanish movie, Los Cronocrímenes, translates
to the Time Criminals.
Time Crime.
Whatever.
Time Crimes.
You know I don't speak Mexican.
This is this is a mind melder. Like, we talk about Primer being heady. This one, if you want to not know what's going, it's just guy accidentally gets in a time machine and goes back in time an hour. That's all it takes. And then everything goes wrong. It's a very awesome movie written and directed by Nacho Vigalondo, which...
Yeah, Nacho.
Yeah, Nacho Vigalondo.
Sure.
So I like that guy's name. Love this movie. Very, very cool. And then if you're looking for anime girls in a school girl outfit, the girl who leapt through time is a really unique time travel anime movie.
I don't normally do also-rans, but there were quite a few that kind of came to mind. You could pick any number of Star Trek movies, including the 2009 reboot that had quite a bit of time in it.
Voyage Home.
The Voyage Home, yeah. That one did as well. Most of the generations, I think, has some time travel elements. I don't really recall, but there were quite a few of the Star Trek movies did. So I kind of wanted to point those out, especially since we did a standalone Star Trek episode, the reboot. Yeah, did we?
We compared Khan to
the old
darkness.
School Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We talked Star Trek enough. We both liked it. So I thought I would bring that up.
Yeah, this is one of those that off top of your head, you think like, oh, there's a ton of good time travel movies.
Terminator
we didn't leave on, or we didn't put on.
But we told you that.
Yeah.
In the past.
So, but this is one of those that I wouldn't be shocked. Like Safety Not Guaranteed never even hit my radar. Absolutely could have been
Dave's
on my list.
Dave's favorite movie from 2012.
Yeah, absolutely could have been on there. So I'm sure we missed some. Like, I'm even trying to rack my brain now.
Butterfly Effect. I like,
but I don't like it enough that it needs to be on this list.
Well, I do like my top five an awful lot, so it would have been tough trying to wedge that on there, but I could see where that could be somebody's.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we missed them, of all episodes we say this, this one is one of the ones that we meet it the most. What do we miss?
We meet it every time, but...
Hit us up, moviesonup.com, moviesonup@gmail.com, @moviesonup on Twitter, facebook.com/moviesonup. Let us know your favorite time travel movies.
But before we get out of here, we do have to watch This Is for you, featuring the star of Back to the Futures 1, 2, and 3, Thomas F. Wilson, perhaps better known as Biff Tannen.
I am going to say watch The Heat, where he shows up as the police captain from earlier this year, Melissa McCarthy, Sandra Bullock. I'm a sucker for these kind of movies, and it was nice. A nice change to see a female buddy cop movie. I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I'm a sucker for McCarthy, and I like Sandra Bullock in these kind of roles. I thought their dynamic was great, and the scene in the club bathroom just makes me laugh just thinking about it. Just that was just such a great scene. So watch The Heat.
Don't have to go back too much further to check out Biff Tannen in The Informant, the Steven Soderbergh, Matt Damon joint. I was not sure what to expect from this movie. I really didn't think that I would like it all that much. But Damon is very compelling. You're not sure whether you're supposed to like him or hate him, which I think is the sign of not only good acting on his part, but good writing based off the Kurt Eichwald book. Pretty rad. I mean, Biff's not in it all that much, but he does show up, and it's just fun to see Biff.
I just love this movie. Like, I'm a sucker for Soderbergh. I like Soderbergh, but this is one of the most, like, Soderberghiest movies out there, like, because you go in expecting one thing, and it's not that.
Yeah.
I really liked it, and Damon, I wish would have got more appreciation for this role, because he carries this movie, and I just love it, but I'm a sucker for Damon and Soderbergh. So
check out The Informant from 2009. Check out our episode from earlier this week. Zero Matt Damon in Thor, but a guy who's just as compelling in Chris Hemsworth. So go back to the past, which you can do at moviesonup.com. Check out Thor or any of our past episodes. They're all there for your listening pleasure. If you'd like more from my co-host, Mr. Dave Bacella, you can do that in the following ways.
You can find me at DaveBacella.com, at Dave Bacella on Twitter. That's BISCELLA. And I have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at ericanddave.com, Eric with a K, at Eric and Dave on Twitter.
We'll have another couple episodes for you next week. What are we doing? You've told me like three times, but I was
next week. We're kicking off the Thanksgiving theme. Favorite movies about a family get together and favorite movies starring an animal.
Because animals are the star of Thanksgiving. We eat them.
And we have no other ideas.
So until then,
keep it up.